All right, what's shaking, Red Nation? Welcome to another episode of The Dream Take, presented by The Dream Shake, home of all things Houston Rockets on SBNation.com. Jeremy Brenner here, and tonight we're going a little bit later after the final buzzer. Rockets win 118-108, but we're going a little bit later because we wanted to make this a full house. Say, six in a row, we've got the good vibes going, and what are good vibes if you can't share them with your co-pilot? So that's why we waited for Michael Brown to get back from Philly so we could record this together. Mike, how was Philly? And how are you feeling about our Rockets, man? Six in a row.
Man, Philly was cool. 50% of my meals were cheesesteaks when I was there, so I feel like I did Houstonians proud, I guess is the best way to put it, while I was in Philadelphia. It was fantastic. Trip was great. It's good to be home. Good dude, Rockets are balling.
Yeah, that's not very kosher of you, Mike, but it sounds really good.
Well, yeah. I mean, I wanted to make sure I got a good viewpoint of where Philly has their best cheesesteaks. I feel like I definitely did that.
And what was your favorite cheesesteak place, man, those that are familiar with Philly?
In all honesty, there was this place right across from where I was staying with my buddies Adrian and Brian. I don't remember the name specifically, but last night dinner was probably the best one I had. In the Philly airport, Chicky and Pete's, I had a cheesesteak with mushrooms and onions, and it was phenomenal. But to answer your question, man.
Interesting.
This is the Rockets team I feel like I believed I would see at the beginning of the year. You know, I talked it up to you. I told you how much I love this team. You know, how much I thought that the potential was there. And they were just getting blown out, and it never made sense to me. And now I think they're like the third or fourth team ever in the history of the NBA to lose 15 games in a season, directly follow that up with a six-game winning streak. And it's not a fluke. I really don't believe that to be the case. But I'm excited, man.
I can't believe three other teams have done what the Rockets have done. Yeah. This feels like it's never been done before.
I mean, in all honesty, like, I don't think we're going to lose ever again. So, no, I'm just
well, the last time we won six in a row, we lost 20 in a row after that. So, hopefully that doesn't happen. I don't think it will happen.
I don't think so either. I mean, I'm in love with the vibes of this team right now. I know we keep using that term, but I mean, personally, the Rockets have won six in a row. The Dolphins have won five in a row. Like, it's good times right now, personally. So.
Yeah. Things are going well for you. You were wrong about the Cougars the other night, but that's okay.
Yeah, the refs screwed us.
The refs screwed us.
We don't need to get into that.
Yeah, we're a Houston Rockets podcast. So let's talk about this Rockets team tonight. No Kevin Porter, no Jalen Green. The Rockets decided, let's put Daniel Tice back in the starting lineup next to Christian Wood. And Mike, this has been, you know, the root behind that losing streak seemed to have been the pairing of Tice and Wood in the front court. Did that concern you tonight that they were going right back to that, even though they weren't, you know, planning on it, but given the injuries to, you know, to Kevin Porter and to Jalen Green, it's kind of like they were forced to start Tice or someone like that. What were your thoughts on starting Tice next to Wood again?
Yeah, I don't think they had another option. I mean, if somebody could present me with a better option, I mean, I would be open to it. You know, I think the only other guy that I would potentially look at to start instead of Tice would have been KJ Martin. I don't think he's there yet with Silas. I don't think the trust is there just yet to start him. But you also, I think it was important to start a guy like Tice tonight, specifically because he's going up against Valanciunas, who ended up having 17 and 10. So I think that was part of the thought process was Wood always wants to be on the perimeter more than he wants to be down low. So you needed Tice's girth, I guess is the best way to put it, to go up against Valanciunas. So I didn't really have a problem with it, especially with starting Gordon and Matthews in the back.
Yeah, you know, they had the shooting. They did need more defense in there. I thought that it was a questionable start, especially because of how they started. You know, you could tell the offense was kind of struggling to find its rhythm. They were able to get there during the second quarter, I think. But yeah, I was thinking, you know, maybe I opined on the last show. I was thinking maybe KJ Martin. That's who I was hoping for. But I was also thinking maybe DJ Augustine. But if you start DJ Augustine, that means there's no point guard for the second unit. And that second unit guard, because there's all those young guys with KJ and with Sengun and with Armani Brooks as well, they need a true point guard. And DJ Augustine had a great night tonight as well. 9 points for him. He had 4 assists. He was kind of like your do-everything kind of guy. And, you know, with no real point guard on the roster, I think DJ Augustine, him in that second unit, is only going to grow in importance. Mike, you're probably the biggest DJ Augustine fan I've seen in Rockets land. So talk about his performance tonight.
He played well. I mean, he also had 3 rebounds. He's a very underrated rebounding guard as well. Mm-hmm. I think what has impressed me most about the 6-game winning streak is the adaptability by Silas. You know, he's being put in a situation, no Kevin Porter Jr. tonight, no Jalen Green. He's having to push a lot of buttons at once. And DJ Augustine from the get-go for weeks now is the best option, I would say, overall to run what Silas wants to run. Because when Gordon's on the court, Gordon doesn't facilitate offense. Gordon scores the ball. He's a professional scorer.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Augustine is a professional
facilitator,
game manager, right? You know, in football terms, he's the Matt Hasselbeck. You know, he's not going to win you games by himself. But tonight, DJ Augustine was a +5, 9 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds. Look at the bench performance tonight for the Rockets. It was special. You know, I mean, you had Martin, House, Sengun, Augustine, Armani Brooks. All 5 of those guys all played more than 15 minutes, and all 5 of those guys had a positive plus minus. And it's not a BS positive plus minus, like the Rockets were up 35 points and all those guys are just playing minutes and they just so happen to be, you know, a positive plus minus. I mean, the Rockets ended up winning the game by 10. Every minute tonight was important, and that bench is performing at a high level. I would say a contributing factor for sure is the performance of DJ Augustine.
Yeah, I think what happened tonight is the starters outplayed their starters barely, but they outplayed them, and the bench kind of added a little bit more distance in there as well. And the Rockets made 17 threes tonight. A lot of those were from that first unit with everyone looked like they were shooting the ball well tonight. The Rockets just had a really efficient night. I think I had to point to a reason why the Rockets won this game, it was their efficiency. They shot 49% from the field and made 17 threes compared to New Orleans's 10. So, and you had Daniel Tice, 2 for 4. Jayshon Tate made 1 of 2. Eric Gordon, 3 of 7. Garrison Matthews, 4 of 6. Christian Wood, 5 of 6 from 3. That you don't usually see every night. Christian Wood was feeling hot tonight, and the shot was falling. 23 points, a team high for him. How important is it now with no Jalen, with no Kevin Porter, how important is it for Christian Wood to be the primary playmaker on this team?
He's a star. I mean, he's a budding superstar. I wouldn't call him a superstar just yet, but I do feel like he's getting there. I mean, he's so important to what this team does because he adds spacing. Spacing is so important in basketball, and especially with what Silas wants to run. His entire offense is predicated on the ability to slash and dash to the bucket, the ability for guys like Christian Wood, you know, to be able to have enough space to operate. And I think one big change in this 6-game winning streak, Christian Wood is included in this. And I know this is going to sound stupid, but it really is important. The Rockets have just started to hit their shots, you know, and look at, you know, turnovers as well. The Rockets only had 14 turnovers. Yeah, 14 is still a high number.
That's a lot. But
based on what they're,
that's,
it's a lot, but it's what they, you know,
earlier. It's a decrease in the season, from where they've been.
Exactly.
I'm sure that's less than their average for the season.
Yeah, their average is right at, I think still it's like 15, 5 or 16. But, you know, they shot 23 of 29 from the free throw line. And I'd like to see the record since we acquired Garrison Matthews. He has been a godsend to this team.
Well, Garrison Matthews has been on the roster since the beginning of the season, but they haven't played him the whole season. I think when they added him to the starting lineup is when the Rockets started winning.
Yeah, and I think – I mean, where would we be without him right now?
Yeah.
And I think one big thing I want to get your opinion on and everybody else's opinion on, obviously. The highlight of my night tonight was the KJ Martin putback. It wasn't even a dunk. No, but the dunk was filthy. That's not even my favorite part of that shot. It's the bench reaction to the dunk. It's Christian Wood who's pounding his fists, you know, in excitement. It's the team's excitement for each other that just it makes me happy, man, because this team was in such a bad place a month ago. And what are we doing now? You and I are sitting here talking about a 6-game winning streak and a massive game coming up on Wednesday. I mean, an absolutely massive home game. That game of the year, no questions asked up until this point. And I can't wait, man.
Bigger than the Pistons game, you think?
This is much bigger than the Pistons game. I mean, it's a 6-game winning streak. You're trying to push it to 7. It's a home game. It's against James Harden. I'll tell you, I want your take on this. I know this is going to be an unpopular question. Would you – I think I know what you're going to say, though. Would you boo James Harden?
No.
Okay. Do you understand fans that would boo James Harden?
Yes, but at the same time, it's – I don't like booing anybody. Like, I really and the thing is this, like – and I think the reason behind that is because I just don't – I don't care about anyone enough to want to boo them. You know what I mean? I don't.
That's interesting.
And maybe I don't want to come across like this, like holier than thou person, but like I don't have enough hatred to boo somebody. Like that's just not me. I get people who are those kind of people, but that's not me. I've never really been the kind of guy to like, you know. They like, oh, like, and maybe that's the journalist in me. Maybe that's like the objective person in me where I really don't like even when the Rockets win, I'm happy. Like, yeah, but I don't think I'm as happy as maybe other people are because I've kind of been trained, like my brain has been trained almost to kind of see things just as numbers and people and statistics and whatnot. And I don't necessarily get the emotion out of that as much as possible. Like, I mean, I do get the emotion, but more positive emotion than the negative emotion. I usually block the negative emotion out of it. So like, and you've seen that, you know, with me, like even when we were down as bad as we were last season, I wasn't like, you didn't hear it really in my voice. Like I was like, okay, like they lost, but I wasn't like, yo, like what the month? Like I wasn't like pissed or like that, but like, that's just not who I am anymore. I don't know if I ever was that kind of person, but, you know, when it comes to Harden, like, yes, there's a lot of emotions in it, but at the same time, you know, it just wasn't meant to be. I don't like, it wasn't meant for him to win a championship in Houston, at least in his tenure that he just had. You know, whether he returns, I don't necessarily know. And I don't want to necessarily put that out there because there's no guarantee he'll come back. And in fact, probably won't, but I mean, you know, the story still has not been written yet, so I don't want to, like, write it before it's been written.
Yeah. I just think that he didn't win a title here because it was his own actions that prevented.
There are a lot of reasons. We could talk about this for hours and hours. There's a lot of reasons why he didn't win a championship here, and that wasn't the only reason. Like,
but he was a big part of the process, I guess, is what I want to say. Like, he worked directly alongside Daryl Morey to build their joint.
And they built a damn good team. Like
they did. But the thing this is why you and I work so well together, I feel like, is because the fan in me defended James Harden so adamantly for so many years. But when you remove yourself from the situation, you got to look at it and say, well, the Rockets brought James Harden to Dwight Howard. It didn't work out. The Rockets brought Chris Paul to James Harden. It didn't work out. The Rockets brought Russell Westbrook to James Harden. It didn't work out. The Rockets then brought him John Wall, and he never gave it a shot. Like, there's a common denominator there. And we're at different spots in our tenure now, and I'm sure we'll talk more about this Wednesday. But I just think it's interesting how fans will react to James Harden. Because me personally, when he was here the last time, I booed James Harden. 100%. He deserved it. He deserves it now. The way he left was not okay to do to a fan base. That's just how I feel. You boo during the intro, and then you move on.
Yeah, get out your – and the thing is, he doesn't care. Like, he does not give a damn that you're booing him, or that Joe Schmo next to you is doing it, or Jill Schmo is doing it either. Like, so that's the thing is, like, to me, it's like, why would I do something that is not going to create any, like, reaction out of anybody?
I mean, but that's, to me, that's a part of sports. That's,
like, if you're going to boo, who's, like, and they don't, like, get fazed by it, then what's the point?
I think
if anything,
it's, because
probably,
you're a fan.
They probably feed off of it.
But you have a right to do so as a fan.
You have a right to say whatever you want.
Right. You don't have a right to throw things on a court, but you have certain rights as a fan. If you're there and you pay the ticket price to get in, you feel a certain way towards the player. It's, to me, it's no different.
Yeah.
To compare this to other sports, if your team sucks, you know, when the Rockets played the Jazz earlier this season, we were down by like 35 points in the first quarter, or no, I think it was the second quarter, and we just got the brakes blown off of us. There were fans next to me booing.
I remember you went to that game.
Yeah, I mean, I will be honest. I would be lying to you and everybody else that I booed a little bit as well, because they were not playing up to the standard that they weren't even trying. And it's the same thing across, you know, sports. The Texans, what they're doing right now, fans are booing them. They deserve it. James Harden, for the way he left the Rockets, deserves to be booed. But I will acknowledge the impact that he had on this organization. He's the second greatest Rocket to ever play for the Rockets.
Yeah. I think we're all in agreement of that. I don't think there's anyone that will disagree with that, except for maybe Craig Ackerman, because I'll say Vaughn Wafer.
One of the greatest calls in the history of broadcasting is the Vaughn Wafer reference from Ackerman.
Yeah.
But he deserves, and he's going to have his jersey retired here one day. He absolutely should. I just think now it's a – I'll be honest with you, man. Can you imagine – this is an interesting exercise, I think. What would James Harden look like on this team right now? How do you think this team would look different with a James Harden?
That is an interesting exercise, because I think
Christian Wood would have the ability. You could argue right now that Christian Wood would have been the best running buddy that Harden ever had as a Rocket.
I think the Rockets would easily be a playoff team. Easily. Because if you look at it, like, yeah, Christian Wood is a good Christian Wood would be a better version of Clint Capella. And then you have, like, House, Matthews, Armani Brooks is his, like, shooters that are around him.
Right.
Kevin Porter would be wing
defender and Jae'Jonte.
Yeah. And then Kevin Porter would be, like, his defensive guard in the back that could also create. And then you have Eric Gordon coming off the bench.
You'd have Daniel Tice. You'd have the big off the bench. Now, you wouldn't have Shangoon. But Shangoon on a playoff team would not be getting the minutes that he's getting now.
No, he wouldn't.
And that's the thing, is like, the Rockets would be able to create this team. This is the scary part, right? That you could have James Harden on this team right now. Nothing basically would be different. You wouldn't have Jalen Green, who hasn't played during the winning streak anyway. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have Shangoon. You wouldn't have Christopher Garuba. But you'd also have, in this past offseason, you would have had money, like a max slot, to sign another guy to put next to James Harden. That's the scary part. Like, you could have brought in an example.
DeMar DeRozan.
I was going to say DeMar DeRozan, but you also could have gone after a guy, you know.
Lonzo.
I was about to say Lonzo Ball. Yeah. And I hate Lonzo Ball, but what he's doing now is impressive with Chicago. Like, imagine upgrading the point guard spot to Lonzo Ball with Harden. You'd have Tate. You'd have Christian Wood. And, yeah, I mean, Christian Wood, Chris Paul was the best Rocket that Harden ever played with. But imagine him with Christian Wood.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw
that little snippet at the beginning of last season.
Yeah. And you know what? Wood, honestly, at this point, I need to look at the other guys' numbers a little closer. He's a fringe all-star right now. The way he's playing right now, if he continues on this trajectory, massive for his development. Yeah. So, he's arguably an all-star, in my opinion.
You know, that's an interesting way to look at it. Here's another thing with Christian Wood. I think he's going to become the focal point of the Rock. Like, he's going to be the next fork in the road for the Rockets in terms of what do they do with him. Because if the Rockets land in the top draft position, there's going to be a lot of guys that are going to make Christian Wood's spot on the team a little dicey. If they were to come here next to him or alongside him or whatever. So I was kind of thinking, like, I know Christian Wood's got 2 years left, right?
Mm-hmm. No, he's got one more year after this.
One more year after this. I'm counting this year for two. Okay. How much are you paying Christian Wood for his next contract? You're thinking $14 million a year now about that?
It's the, what's it called? I give him the John Collins deal that Atlanta gave Collins. Let me look it up real quick. Give me a second.
Because I was kind of thinking, like, your boy Jared Allen, about 5-100.
Yeah. No, I think Wood's going to be more expensive than that.
John Collins got 5-125.
Yeah. I mean, that's honestly, you know, the
with the player option year five.
Yeah. I think that's what the Rockets are going to have to pay him, man. And to be honest, I give him that deal every day of the week that ends in Y.
Especially if he plays like he did tonight.
It's got massive ramifications, though, if you don't re-sign him. Because, this is my thinking on this, is you have a guy in Christian Wood who was a good player before he got here, but he wasn't great. He chose to come here as a free agent. You give him a 3-year, $42 million deal, which you and I are in agreement. I think every Rockets fan is in agreement that, on the whole, he's outperforming the contract. Deal. Yeah, he's outperforming that contract.
Yes.
So, I mean, outside of the earlier in the season when he was just awful, but I digress. What message would you be sending to not only Christian Wood, but other guys in the league that would make the decision to come here and say, okay, I'm going to sign for this contract, I'm going to outperform it, and then you're not going to reward me with a new contract? And for what? Like, the Rockets
have to get something for Christian Wood, either a new contract, or they need to get some major assets for him.
I don't think you can move him, because I don't think that there's a deal out there that makes you better by moving him.
Yeah, I agree. At this point in time, yeah. I mean, we're still, you know, we're still 2 months away from any kind of time when you can trade him, and I don't think that they should trade him.
I think they need to get him a legitimate running buddy. I think that's what you can do the most service to Christian Wood, is finding a power forward for Christian Wood, a legit power forward, which this team has not had since they've had Christian Wood.
See, but the thing is, they tried that with Daniel Tyson. It did not work.
But Tyson isn't a power forward, though. Like, if you're going to make Christian Wood the focal point as the big man, dude, we had this conversation last year, and it hasn't changed. If you're going to make him the focal point as your five, which I think you and I are now in agreement best move. You've got to give him a guy on the boards, a legitimate power forward. I'm talking, I like Paolo Banchero personally because he reminds me of a more skilled Carlos Boozer. I think the dude can flat out play. You got to get him a Paul Millsap, a Carlos Boozer, trying to think of another example, like a true four. A true power forward, not a center.
And why can't that be Jay Sean Tate? Or why can't that be KJ Martin?
I don't think Martin's big enough to give us what we need in that role. Jay Sean Tate, but I like Tate more on the wing than I do down low.
The problem with that, though, Mike, is they wanted to go with two bigs, right? They wanted Wood with Tyson. They wanted to put him down low. And that is not – that is not helpful for Christian Wood's game. Christian Wood needs to be in the pick and roll with whoever. And that's why Jared Allen wouldn't have worked here. It's It's why Daniel Tice did not work out at the beginning of the season. They need four guys on the perimeter and Wood going in. Like that and how Wood has performed in Houston, the way he's performed at his best has been in lineups where he is the sole big out there. With the big next to him, it has not proven to work. So in order to get him a true four, like you said, they need to get a guy that also is really good on the perimeter. And like that's, and the thing is, Christian Wood is capable though of cleaning the boards. We've seen several 20 rebound games from him. I mean, tonight 8 rebounds, not exactly the 20 rebound game you were hoping for, but I mean, at the end of the day, like I think that the Rockets are trying to build something here where I really don't think there's that many more pieces that they are going to be added to this puzzle. I think it's really just one or two before they really start to move forward here. And I'm not talking about like these stopgap like pieces. Like I think DJ Augustine's, you can probably like replace him, or you can have someone usurp his minutes, like a Josh Christopher and Eric Gordon. I think they're going to get some guy that is like Eric Gordon that plays a little bit of his style, but it won't be him because they'll probably trade him at some point during the season. So, and same with Daniel House, but I think that they're either going to replace those guys. One of those three guys is going to be replaced by a good rookie. And then two of those guys, or three, and maybe Tice is in this as well. Those guys are going to be replaced either by guys like KJ Martin, who are here for the long run, Kevin Porter, who's here for the long run, maybe Garrison Matthews gets some of those Eric Gordon minutes when he moves on. So, like, I think the Rockets, when they're going to be good, I do think a lot of these people will be on that team. I do. And I don't necessarily think all of them will, but I think what this win streak has shown us is that the pieces that are here can win you games and can beat not just any team, but they can beat good teams as well. And they can not only beat good teams, but they can win on the road. And not only can they win on the road, but they can come back on the road. And they've won every one of these games in very different ways. Like the Bulls game, they won by simply just outshooting them. The Hornets game was just the most efficient offense that I've seen from them all season. And then you look at the OKC game, just didn't quit. And the first OKC game, the defense is what won them that game. And so now what you've seen in this winning streak is a real semblance of an actual team. And these guys are capable. And I think they went through a lot of growing pains, but now the pains are a little bit less and the growing's a little bit more.
Yeah. All right. To touch on what you were talking about before, I love Jabari Smith from Auburn is the exact kind of guy you're talking about.
And I think Jabari Smith is great. I really like Jabari Smith as well, but it's just I'm not exactly sure how him and Wood are going to fit. I really don't know because
you gotta take a shot at it.
Like, yeah, and look, that's probably the exact
kind of guy you need for Wood.
And the thing is, the question is if you draft a guy like a Jabari Smith, like a Pop, is that guy going to be a complement to Wood, or is he going to replace Wood? And that is, I think, the question that remains to be seen yet.
Nobody has ever been able to give me a reason to trade Christian Wood if you're the Rockets. There's no upside.
Why you trade Christian Wood is because you fear that he'll go elsewhere in free agency. That is why you trade him. And the thing is, they could get a guy that is like Christian Wood that's younger in the draft. And there might be some – because the thing is this. Let's say you have the number 5 pick. You take Jabari Smith. I'm just saying number 5 just to kind of just say – because you have a top 5 pick. Because right now the top 5 are like in a tier of their own. Then it's the next tier, at least as of this point in the draft process, which is still, you know, 6 months away. So there's still a lot of time. But as of right now, today, you know, December 5th, you take, let's say you take Jabari Smith. And it turns out Jabari Smith and Christian Wood are too similar. They don't work out well. Wood plays a lot better with Jabari Smith on the bench. Jabari Smith plays better a lot, plays much better with Christian Wood on the bench. So at that point, you're like, okay, well, I have a top five pick I just drafted, or I have an impending free agent. What do I do? And that is why I think Christian Wood's spot on the team is not as secure as it should be, because he is our best player and he is the best player on the Rockets, and he should be, you know, they should look into signing an extension for him this offseason if there wasn't that, you know, top five pick that could come to Houston. But as of right now, I mean, there's still so much time left, and that's why I don't like talking about draft stuff, because there's right. still so much that can happen between now and the end of the season. Look, we're only 23 games into this season. We still have almost 60 games left to go. So much can change in 60 games, and so much can change in the draft as well. You know, these guys could go down, other guys could rise. It could be a totally different top five when we are at the end of the season. And when we're at the draft, you know, things could look totally different. And the Rockets might not even have a top five pick. If they're playing like this, they're going to win some games, and they might not win, you know, the rest of the 59 yeah. games, but they might win, like, let's just say 25 games, and that might not get them in the top five. They might be, you know, six or seven, and then you're looking at, like, a Patrick Baldwin or something like that. And then, you know, so there's just so many factors that I think it's too early to talk about draft stuff. Yes, it's important. Yes, it's important. Keep it in the back of the mind. Look at it. But as of right now, let's enjoy and let's watch the Rockets that are on our court right now, like the Christian Wood and Eric Gordon and those guys. And then when the trade deadline comes, we can talk about that. Then after the trade deadline, we can focus on that team. And then when we get to the offseason, we can look at the draft guys and go from there. Because if you want to live in the moment with this team. Because as you've seen in the last six games have been incredible. And in fact, the last six games have almost erased the previous 15 because of how special it has been watching this group get to grow. So my advice to Rockets Nation, to Red Nation, is live in the moment, enjoy every game how it comes, win or lose. Hopefully they win. If they lose, it's okay. And we move forward.
Yeah, and yeah, no, I mean, I'm with you, dude. I don't like the idea of you're trading away Christian Wood because you potentially could get a guy as good as him in the draft. That doesn't make any sense. You already have him. He's young enough. He's not 35. I mean, he's still in his 20s, and he's only going to get better. And I think his ability – I think one big thing for everybody on this team is their ability – the great players adapt, I guess is the best way to say it. Like if you're Christian Wood and you have a guy next to you and you have to adapt, you have to change your game in order to fit with that type of guy, that's what the great players do. You know, and we were talking about him earlier. The best example I can give is when James Harden moved to the point guard role. He wasn't a point guard when he got here. He was a shooting guard, but the writing was on the wall that Mike D'Antoni built him an offense where the ball was in his hand. And he showed an ability to elevate his game and take his game to a level that he never had it at before. So I think whoever the Rockets end up with in a draft, Chris, it's on Christian Wood because he's the veteran. He's the best player on the team. He has to tweak his game in order to make it fit with that new guy. That's what he's going to have to do.
Mike, if he gets to that point where if he's tweaking his game for a guy that could easily come and be his replacement, then he's not going to want to stay. And then the Rockets will need to trade him because they'll need to get something for him. The last thing they can do and the last thing that the Rockets need to do is they cannot let Christian Wood walk away and the Rockets get nothing in return. That would be asinine at this point.
But it's also on the Rockets organization as a whole. You don't draft his replacement. You know?
But they might not have a choice if they're drafting at the top of the draft and the best player available is a guy that happens to be a five or a four.
Well, people would argue, I don't agree with them, but people would argue that you already have Wood's potential replacement on the roster already in Shane Goon.
Yes, but here's another thing too. And they might. And that's a whole other can of worms that we can open. But the reason why rebuilding teams stay rebuilding teams is because they don't draft best player available and they draft for fit for their current roster. And that's why, like, that's why the Kings went for Marvin Bagley instead of Luka Doncic. That's why, you know, that's why so many of these draft busts happen, is because teams go ahead and they draft for need instead of best player available when they're at the top of the draft. So, like, yeah, that Marvin Bagley example is you know, is probably the easiest one I can make. But, I mean, you look at another, you know, there's a number of examples that this could, you know, fit. So I'm trying to think of, like, one more, then I can just kind of wrap it up. But, like,
well, when that, I mean, go back to the Milicic draft when they
Mike. Great example.
Over Carmelo.
Look, the Pistons still won a championship, so yeah, but that doesn't mean that they made the right decision by taking Milicic instead of Carmelo Anthony. So yeah, there you go. It's you need to be able to draft the best player available when you are one of the worst teams in the league.
But it's also
assuming the Rockets will be also, at that point.
Yeah, it's also very important, though, and I agree with you on this point. Before you get to the draft, you have to decide. I think it's this offseason. You can't wait until next offseason. It has to be this offseason. Either you're all in on Christian Wood or you're not.
Yeah, no, why this season is so important for him.
Yeah, I think if you are, I agree with you. You draft best player available. You know, if you have the number one pick, which I don't think the Rockets will, you got to decide who's the best player in the draft. Me personally, it's not Chet Holmgren. I like him. I don't love him. But you have to start at some point. And I don't know if it's this draft or it's next draft. I know you would say it's probably at bare minimum the next draft, not this one. But you have to eventually start looking at your roster saying, who are the mainstays on this roster? And we can't just draft a guy. Like, this Rockets team right now does not need a starting point guard. They just don't. I think it's Kevin Porter Jr.'s job at this point. So it's like, that's the best example I could give.
And that's what I'm saying. If these guys are progressing enough, then you can be more certain that these are your guys. Right. And this win streak has proven that. Look, this win streak has proven that, because I'll be honest, I think this is where the win streak ends. I don't see them beating the Nets on Wednesday. I think that they might give them a game, but I think the Nets are just – like, if KD and Harden both play, I think that there's just – the Rockets don't have a guy that can stop both of them. It's going to be really difficult on Wednesday. The Nets right now, if I'm not mistaken, they're number one. Yep. 16-7, number one in the East right now. It's going to be a challenge for sure. They will be on the second half of a back-to-back, so maybe that – helps the Rockets. Maybe it hurt. Maybe they. That's what I'm saying. They might not both play because it is on the second half of a back to back. But I think that
That's how soft this league is becoming. But please continue.
Yeah, but you know James Harden doesn't not play back to back. So I'm thinking more Kevin Durant. But even James Harden, a team with just James Harden on it, is much better than the Rockets. So I think it's going to be a challenge to beat the Nets on Wednesday. But hopefully I'm wrong, and hopefully the Rockets do make it seven. Do you remember the last time we won seven in a row?
I think it was 2017.
I think
the Rockets were 65-17. But I will say, I mean, tonight they lost, by four to the Bulls. So the Nets can be had. And like I said, man, I this is the biggest game, in my opinion, in probably 2+ years for the Rockets. Because I think this is where you actually can get a taste of what are they. You know, they're a nice team, the Rockets. Not nice, nice isn't the best word. They're a scrappy bunch. But do they have legitimate NBA talent to compete with the likes of a Brooklyn Nets? That's what we're about to find out. And I think they do. I mean, they just beat Chicago. You know, they just beat – who did they beat? Charlotte. Mm-hmm. You know? So I think it's something to take with a grain of salt that some of the teams the Rockets have beat on the 6-game winning streak. I mean, New Orleans, who's got 7 wins, so they have more wins than us coming into tonight. You beat OKC. You beat some lapdog teams, but you don't ever apologize for beating teams on your roster. You play your schedule the exact way that it comes out at the beginning of the year. But Wednesday just has a big game feel. I may have to go to that game. No, I've talked myself into it. I may have to be in the building for that one.
Yeah, so the Rockets, they won 8 in a row with Russ and Harden. It was November 4th to November 18th. They won 8 in a row.
Can we have a moment of silence for anybody that spent their hard-earned money on a Russell Westbrook jersey? A Rockets Russell Westbrook jersey.
And there's your moment of silence. All right. I think this is a good place to park the rocket ship for now. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of The Dream Take. Thank you to those who listen to us live here on Spotify Green Room, staying up late with us. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at The Dream Take and at DreamShakeSBN. You can also head to our website, thedreamshake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets, on SBNation.com. We'll be back Wednesday after this Brooklyn game. It'll be some combination of me and or Mike on the mic talking Rockets Nets. And, yeah, be sure to follow my co-pilot on Twitter, Mr. Michael Brown, at
BSW_MB.
You can follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of The Dream Take. And until next time, go Rockets.